There's no intro poem to go with this book, and so I won't do one. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and let's talk about caves. Let's talk about deep, dark, mysterious caves that go in the ground. Or are they part of the ground? What is a cave? Is it really a thing, or the absence of a thing? What is a cave? A cave is just a hole in the ground, or like in the side of a mountain. A cave is any place where the earth has naturally opened up, allowing egress to water or air or living creatures or human beings. Human beings are living creatures. All human beings are living creatures. Not all living creatures are human beings. Take that one to the bank and smoke it. Caves. Caves are a thing that have always existed. When were caves invented? Forever. That's when they were invented. Who made the first cave? God made the first cave, if you believe in God. If you don't, Mother Nature did it. Father Time? I don't know. Caves are formed for many different reasons and in many different ways. Caves are all over the world. Wherever there is land, thou shalt find a cave, as the great speaker I once said about caves. And with caves come cave exploration, and with cave explorations come accidents and terrible dangers, because exploring unknown caves is highly dangerous, be it on the top of the highest mountain to the depths of the lowest sea. Exploring caves is dangerous for you and me. There's many different kinds of cave exploration. Caving is how it is generally referred to in this day and age. People say, I am going to go caving. I am a caver. I like to cave. Dost thou cave? I am not necessarily a cave diver. That is a different thing. And if you're doing cave, you know, like cave exploring scientifically, you might say, I am a speleologist. I do speleology. I am very speleological in my habits. And if you are an American who just likes to dink around in caves and have a good time and doesn't have any real expertise, you might say, I am a spelunker. I like to spelunk. I shall spelunk wherever I ghost. Goest, not wherever I ghost. That's like what I do when I have been removed from my body and I'm just a spirit floating around. That's when I ghost. You can be a ghost in a cave, a haunted cave. Not a very exciting place for a ghost, I wouldn't think. Not many people. I mean, even a popular cave doesn't have as many people as like a haunted house. I wouldn't think. Maybe it does. I don't know anything about haunted caves. This is definitely not an episode about haunted caves, though. This is just about a cave. It's just about a cave. This is the Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave, another Cub Club book. Look, Ma, I'm reading from 1994. This is the book about the Berenstain Bears getting lost in a cave. Spooky cave. This is a book about the Berenstain, the Bear Scouts have to get their spooky cave merit badges. Now, this is different than just a caving merit badge. Spooky cave is a specific spot in bear country. And this is a merit badge designed for children who have survived spooky cave. The whole book covers their adventures in Spooky Cave. There is also an episode of the PBS TV series based on this book loosely, which I will be covering over on patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Become a patron right now and get your hands on some wonderful bonus episodes. And by wonderful, I mean they exist. But before we get into the Berenstain Bears get lost in a cave, or the Berenstain Bears lost in a cave. Like, that's the situation they find themselves in. This isn't a book about getting lost in a cave. This is simply a book about Berenstain Bears lost in a cave. Before we get into that, just a little history of caving. Now, like I said, as long as there have been caves, people have gone into caves. And people have called it different things. The whole spelunking thing is an American thing. I think it dates back to, like, I think it first appeared in print only in the 1940s. It's a bit of a pejorative thing to call cave explorers now. Spelunkers are generally that's what you refer to people who just don't know what they're doing nowadays, even though casual cave enthusiasts might refer to themselves as spelunkers. Serious cave enthusiasts and caving experts would not refer to themselves as spelunkers, except perhaps in jest, as a funny joke amongst themselves and their friends. And of course, the scientists are referred to as speleologists. You can look at, so I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole. I looked up, I was like, where does the term spelunker come from? And of course, the Latin word spelunca, which the Romans took from the Greek spelinx. Spelunk is an old French term for a cave. And there was an old English term related to the adjective spelunker, which was used in the 19th century. The Dutch called caves spelonk. And Middle High German, spelunk, which now means a dirty pub, is what they referred to as caves as. The term spelunker is older than the verb spelunk. And the first example of spelunk showing up in print was in the Salisbury Times of Maryland, I believe in 1941. The quote is, "Spelunkers spieled tales of spelunks today for the nation's first conference on speology," S-I-C, because that's misspelled. And so this conference, this speleological conference, people thought it was hilarious to refer to them as spelunkers. I don't know. Journalists, they just want some jokes. They wanted some funny jokes. And so they refer to them as spelunkers. Don't call them spelunkers to their face. They don't appreciate it. Why do people explore caves? There's many different reasons to explore caves. The exercise, the thrill, actually contributing to the world, mapping, geological reasons, finding rocks, camaraderie, because it, you know, to serious exploration, you should have more people with you. There's all different kinds of reasons people go into caves, looking for animal life, figuring out the way geology works, like down below, like the cave. And there's a lot of different reasons you go in a cave. But caving as a sport, as like a pastime, as like an organized thing, really didn't come into play until like the mid 19th century, closer to the end of the 19th century. And I think that had to do with this new sort of middle class, the leisure class, but who also think of the same groups that like were like fossil hunters, like this sort of like we're the casual wealthy, the casually wealthy, but we're also interested in like discovering things and kind of making names for ourselves. But the name that's most associated with like it becoming popular, being very popularized amongst people, was Edouard Alfred Martel, who first achieved the descent and exploration of the, I'm going to mispronounce this, Gouffre de Padirac in France in 1889. So he made it popular to go exploring like undiscovered caves. And then like all these just organizations opened up. And then Floyd Collins in the early 20th century, like in the 1920s, became another famous caver. And Floyd Collins became famous not only for being a famous caver and discovering just all these incredible caves in the area where he lived. He became famous as like one of the first media sensations when he got trapped in his cave. And like newspapers came from miles around to see them try to rescue Floyd Collins. Spoiler alert. They didn't rescue Floyd Collins. He died in the cave, which wasn't really a cave. It kind of was a cave. It was more like a sand tunnel. Floyd Collins was kind of fearless, and he had to be, because at this point, like in the early 20th century, this was a way to make money. And so you would discover a cave, and then you'd charge people to tour it. And there was so much tourism going on in his area that his family was losing money on their cave, so he was constantly trying to find newer and better caves. But he would crawl. Theoretically, he could flatten himself down small enough that he could squeeze through areas that were only 8 inches high. There's a way like you exhale and you flatten your body and you turn your head and stuff. And he was exploring this giant cave he had discovered, like this huge opening. But he had to get back up to the surface. So, but in order to crawl out, he had to go through this very tight squeeze on his back, like, because he couldn't go up forwards because it suddenly did it like a almost 90 degree like turn upwards. So you had to go in the way that your body turned. And he was on his back, and he, like, a rock fell on his foot. Like, that was it. Like, a rock fell on his foot. Not even a big rock, but it fell in such a way that it, like, wedged him in. Long story short, he died. But he became famous. There's a musical based on it called Floyd Collins. It's very good. You should check it out. More a show you should probably see than just hear, because the music is a little weird. But it's a very good musical. Very good musical. But caving became this thing. And in 1941, the National Speleological Society was developed in order to, like, promote conservation of these caves, so people weren't just, like, running rampant all over them. And with the war, in the 1940s, the loss of materials, like, because they had to go to the war effort, required that cave explorers come up with new ways to fashion equipment. And it was actually this loss of a lot of the materials they used to fashion their own equipment that forced them to come up with new ideas that we still use today. A lot of the pieces of caving equipment that we see were come up with because they were sort of workarounds for the stuff that they used to use. So, I mean, it's really kind of fascinating to, like, read about the history of caving, because it's something I don't think about very much, but it's something that people are doing all the time, and it's a way that we learn more about our world. It's also an extraordinarily dangerous pastime because of things like, I don't know, like falling rocks, hypothermia, drowning, dying of exhaustion. There's all kinds of things. I mean, and that's not even to say, like, people who go into the super dangerous ones, like underwater, or like places where you're not really sure if, like, the ground is even solid, and just sort of, like, cross your fingers and hope for the best. Caving is not the safest thing in the world. But, oh, here's what I learned about histoplasmosis, which is a fungal infection that you can get from bird and bat droppings, which causes pneumonia. And then opens you up for all other kinds of infections. There's also a bacterial infection spread by animals like rats called leptospirosis, which you can get from rat urine, which is serious and you can die from. I mentioned flooding and things like that. So there's all kinds of dangers in caving. But all kinds of importance in caving. And learning, it's a good way to learn about the world around you, to learn about the way, you know, the world forms and is constantly changing. Just go into a cave and look at the walls and look at the rocks. I love it. I wish I could go caving more. I wish I was A, braver, and B, just had the time. Because the few times I've been in caves, I've liked it. Like, I think it's pretty cool. It's A, indoors. Like, that by definition, I'm not outside in the sun. And that's like, yay, Phil. That's the best thing. So the Berenstain Bears lost in a cave. As the title suggests, this is about the Berenstain Bears getting lost in a cave. The Cubs, brother, sister, and cousin Fred have to go explore Spooky Cave to get their Spooky Cave merit badges. And who is their Spooky Cave Scoutmaster? Why, Papa Bear himself. Now, this is your classic Papa Bear doesn't know what the heck he's talking about book, because he's going to lead them through Spooky Cave, which looks like a face, a horribly mean face. And there's mountain goats. This is up on, does it even say what mountain it's up on? Nope. But there's mountain goats. And what they do is they tie a string in order to keep from getting lost. And that'll come into play later on. Because, and remember those goats. It's goats and string. So they go into the cave and Papa starts trying to be smart, and he teaches them about stalactites, stalagmites. Teaches them a little rhyme. Here's a little rhyme to help you remember which is which. Stalactites and stalagmites, only caves have got 'em. Tites are always on the top, mites are on the bottom. Which I guess is easy to remember, unless you say mites are always on the top and tites are on the bottom, because it doesn't actually help. That's not even actually a mnemonic. Like, it's just a poem, and if you get the two words you're trying to remember confused, it doesn't help you at all. What I always learned was stalagmites might reach the ceiling, which to me that works a lot better. I mean, you could say stalagmites might reach the floor and get yourself flustered again, but stalagmites might reach the ceiling. Remember that one. They might reach the ceiling because they are constantly growing. And then sister's like, why does it sound so weird in here? And Papa's like, it's called an echo. And he shouts hello, which causes a stalactite to fall, hits Papa on the bottom. He says, yipe. They realize that they're kind of in danger because this cave falling apart around their ears. Eventually they get lost. This is when Papa ties a string. He's like, here's a ball of string. We can't get lost because I left a trail of string. We didn't see him tie the string in this book. In fact, he just pulls it out. But what he doesn't know is that those mountain goats from before have eaten the string. And so now they're lost. Their next big thing is, how do we get out of here if we're lost? Now, what's interesting, it says Papa didn't know the goat had eaten the string. But the next thing is they're like, how are we going to get out of here? So I guess between those two pages, they must have discovered the goat had eaten the string. And Papa's like, well, just follow the breeze. He holds up his finger. He's like, I can feel a breeze. Follow me. But there was an underground stream that Papa didn't know about. They fall into the stream. They get swept away down like a rapids, which deposits them out of Spooky Cave. Very good. So, okay, we'll get to this. So they get washed out of the cave. Papa hands in their merit badges, which I didn't even think was a thing he was allowed to do. They were like, that was fun. It was like a water ride at Fun Park. So a little call back to Fun Park, everyone. Enjoy that. And they're like, can we do it again? And Papa's all, no. No, you may not do it again. And that's it. That's it. It says at the end, they're proud of Scoutmaster Papa, who knew everything there was to know about caves. Well, almost everything. So that's the Berenstain Bears get lost in a cave, or I'm sorry, the Berenstain Bears lost in a cave. Now, I want to take a quick look and see what you do if you actually got lost in a cave. What if you were exploring a cave with a group of friends, just like Papa and the Cubs, and you found yourself lost? What if a goat had eaten your string? What if you had been hit by a falling stalagmite or stalactite and had run screaming into the darkness? What if? What should you do if you get lost in a cave? Well, the National Cave Rescue Commission and the National Speleological Society have some recommendations to help you if you get lost in the deepest, darkest, spooky cave. The first step is don't panic. Stay very still. Take deep breaths. Calm yourself down. Don't go wandering off. That's just your first thing you need to do. Don't just start walking in any direction because it's really easy to get lost in a cave system. Even experts get lost in cave systems. You're definitely going to get even more lost in that cave system. Now, also realize that most lost cavers get found. You can turn off any batteries you have, like any lights. If you feel like you can handle the dark for a while, you want to conserve those batteries. You can knock rocks together and make a lot of noise that way. Don't scream. It's going to tire you out. Your voice is going to go hoarse. And sharp rock sounds actually carry a lot further than your voice will. So bang those rocks together, guys. Put on extra clothes so you don't get hypothermia. Make a hole for your head and put your head through it in a plastic bag or a trash bag. That'll keep you warm and dry. Just nibble on food. And if you have water with you, just drink it sparingly, because you don't want to run out of food and water, especially water, but you also want to keep your brain clear. And here's an interesting thing. This is similar to what Papa did. So Papa had tied a string, and it says, if you think you know your way out, you can leave a trail for yourself with bits of paper, bits of fabric, or even like rock cairns. And then look on the ground to see if you left any tracks. You may have left foot or hand prints on your way in that you didn't even realize. It says to walk or crawl slowly and calmly. And if you hit a dead end, use your trail to return to the starting point and look for another exit. And here's something that Papa did, and this is kind of smart. It says, if you feel small air currents, or you can detect them by using the flicker of a lighter, you may be able to pinpoint a passage that leads to the surface. Another way you can find out if there's an air current is to get some fine dust in your hand and toss it in the air and see if it blows, because air will be moving in the direction that it entered. Easy peasy. Says if you get tired, don't lay down on cold rock. You want to stay dry. You don't want to lose all your body heat, though. If you hear dripping, you may be able to drink that water, but you may not. Cave water can have all kinds of nastiness in it, but you might be a little safer drinking the water that's running down the walls. Apparently rock can filter a lot of bad things out of water. Do not drink stagnant water unless you just absolutely have to. And if it has a strong odor, avoid it if you can. It also says that near the cave entrance, which I'm like, oh, if you're near a cave entrance, I don't understand why you would be lost. But in any case, you might be able to find bugs or bats, fish or birds. They're very hard to catch. You might spend more of your energy trying to catch these than you do eating them, like than you earn from eating them. It does say, don't worry, if you have water, though, you can survive 30 to 40 days without food. You might be going a little, you know, haywire at that point. You might not be too happy, but you can survive. So this was the Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave. It's a Cub Club book, look, I'm reading, which means that it is illustrated by I don't know who, but the illustrations are very nice. These are nicely rounded characters. I like the way their faces are drawn. I always enjoy seeing Cousin Fred. It's Papa at his slightly more tolerable. I can tolerate Papa when he's not deliberately leading the children into danger, and he does know a thing or two about caves. He knows how to get out if he gets lost. He knows to leave a trail. He's a little overconfident, but I love the drawings of the inside of the cave. I love the watercolor on the stalagmites and the stalactites. I do want to say that if a stalactite falls on you, it's probably going to elicit more than just a yipe and like a yipe and a jump, because maybe it didn't actually hit him. Oh, I see. The big stalactite was falling and it was pointing straight at Papa's bottom, but he jumps out of the way. That's what it is. Okay, he doesn't get transpierced by the stalactite. Whew, because I wouldn't have bought that for a second. But he's also not smart enough to not scream hello to show off that he knows what an echo is. Also, I would think these kids would know what an echo is by this point in their life. So they're down in the cave. Papa knows a thing or two about them. And I love the way these mountain goats are drawn. Guys, these are some adorable goats. If you ever wanted to see the goats in Berenstain style, check out Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave. These goats, my friends, these goats are cute. Now, the Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave, I do enjoy it. This is a good one. It's not written in that weird rhymey style either. This is just straight prose. It's just a story. And on the cover and in like the opening title page, the word cave is drawn with spooky, scary stalactites and stalagmites. So you know you're in for a ride. I like this book a lot. The one thing I wish it had one of those awesome Berenstain cutaways where you what are they called? Where you cut the image in half so you can see what's it called? There's all those books about the Star Wars vehicles that do those where they cut off part of the vehicle so you can see the inner workings of it. It's called where you can see it's segmented and you can see the different inner work. I wish they'd done one of those for the cave, I guess is what I'm saying. Just like they did for the spooky old tree. Like, I wish that you had been able to see the path through the cave. That's cool. That's a cool thing. Mike, if you're listening, and I know you're not, if you ever redo this book for Jesus, I guess, throw in some Bible references. If you ever redo this or do another cave book, and maybe you have, I don't know, I haven't gotten to those yet, put in a cross section. That's what it's called. A cross section. Put in a cross section for moi. So that's the Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave. It is out of print, unfortunately. If you're going to buy this one, you're going to buy this one used from a used book dealer. But it is, I think, worth it. There's some real gems in these Cub Clubs. For every, Visit Fun Park, which is just kind of okay. I liked it fine, but it wasn't that great. There is Lost in a Cave, which is fun. It has an element that I loved in children's books when I was a kid, which is characters unexpectedly going down a water slide. That is fun. And everyone ends up safe in the end. And Papa's not so big adult. He's just a little bit of adult. So that's it. That's the book for this week, Berenstain Bears Lost in a Cave. But what's that I hear? Why, visit patreon.com/deepinbearcountry to get my thoughts on the animated episode. If you donate $1 or more to my Patreon, you get to listen to any and all bonus episodes, and I've been doing quite a bit recently, so tune on in. There's usually episodes for these Cub Club books, so feel special, because they're going to run out at some point, and I'm going to try to load up as many bonus episodes as I can on that Patreon. Find me at BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com. Follow me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. And again, Patreon.com/EvenBearCountry. I hate to keep pushing it, but it is very helpful to me that I have the wonderful donors I have. And pretty soon, once I collect enough of them, I will be doing a special Patreon Q&A episode. So hold on to your hats. We'll be doing that one right away. Thank you so much for joining me. I love every single one of you individually and specially, and I will see you all next time deep in.